I felt like this morning I was going to talk to you about anger and fear. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, I believe that scripture that says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What we've just talked about here is people that have been angry with each other and that they've been separated because of that anger. And anger can be a terrible thing. You know, we all have to sometimes vent our anger, but anger can be a terrible thing. It can be a crippling thing. It also can be something that is like a cancer that keeps growing and growing and growing. And I'm going to tell you this little story, and for any of you all that are baseball fans, maybe you've read this before, maybe you haven't. And for any of you that don't know, I'll kind of explain as I go along. In the autobiography, number one, Billy Martin told this story. He told about going on a hunting trip in Texas with Mickey Mantle. Now, if you remember back years ago, any of you that's old enough to have watched the Yankees, Billy Martin used to be the manager of the Yankees. And Billy Martin was about as fiery as you could get. He got threw out of more games probably than any other manager. Maybe Casey Stengel might have got thrown out of more. I don't know. But he was always out there fussing and carrying on with the umpires and a lot of times with the players if he didn't think they were doing what they should have done. But he played with Mickey Mantle. They were on the same team when Mickey Mantle was still playing. But anyway, Billy Martin told about a hunting story in Texas when him and Mickey Mantle were friends. Mickey took him to one of his friend's ranch. And when they reached the ranch, Mickey told Billy to wait out in the car while he went in and checked with his friend. They were going to go hunting. And Mantle's friend quickly gave him permission to go hunting. But he asked Mickey a favor. He had a pet mule in the barn, and it was going blind. And he didn't have the heart to put the mule down. And he asked Mickey, he says, will you do me a favor? He said, will you go out into the barn and shoot the mule for me? He said, I just can't do it. Well, Mickey told him, well, sure, I'll do that for you. And Mickey came out back to the car, and he pretended like he was angry. And he scowled and he slammed the door. And Billy Martin asked him what was wrong. And Mickey said to his friend, he said, my friend wouldn't let us go hunting. And I'm so mad at that guy, Mantle said, I'm going to go out in the barn and shoot his mule. And Martin protested and said, you can't do that. But Mickey was adamant. Just watch me, he said. And he jumped out of the car with his rifle and ran inside the barn and shot the mule. And as he was leaving, he heard two other shots. And he saw Martin had taken his rifle too. What are you doing, Martin? He yelled. Martin yelled back, red-faced, well, I'll show that son of a gun. I just killed two of his cows. Anger, even pretend anger, is a destructive thing, folks. It's contagious. If you get around somebody that's really angry and they start talking about their anger, if you're not real careful, you find yourself slipping right over into that too. And, I mean, we've all had an experience here lately of even watching what happened up at that school with all those kids. And I tell you, when you watch that, you couldn't help but get angry. But you know what? That poor boy that did that, he was tormented. He was in terrible shape. And I tell you, it's awful, you know. And I listened to one of the parents talk, and he said that he was praying for that boy's family that did that, because he said, I can't imagine what they're going through. And you know what? Anger is something that it will just eat away at you and eat away at you and eat away at you if you don't get it dealt with and you don't ask the Lord to come in and heal the anger. And we've heard a couple stories here today of even Marge and Melissa's friend, our mother, and the story I told you about the lady in the hospital and her father, and we've heard different ones here, you know. But we have to realize that we have to get past this. And, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of thought. You know, what a grand power is the power of thought. You know, man can use it for good, or he can use it rightly, or he can use it wrongly. And, you know, actually, a lot of the things that our character comes out of our thoughts. Scripture tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you begin to think irritating, hateful thoughts concerning someone, it'll eat you away. It's like a cancer after a while. It gets greater and greater and greater. So we have to ask the Lord to help us. You know, I'm just going to read you a couple things I got written down here. Anger usually focuses on our disappointments over occurrences of the past, the violation of our rights, the frustrations over how things turned out, or a lack of fulfillment over not having achieved our goals. We either doubt God's ability to manage our lives, or we resent his sovereign intrusion into them. Wow. And you know what? That's true, because a lot of times if we let anger begin to well up inside of us, after a while we find ourselves saying to God, well, God, why'd you let this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why is this going on? You know, and we really begin to question. And the opposite of anger is gratitude. And, you know, the opposite of fear is rest. You know, if we're thankful and at ease over the fact that God is overseeing the affairs of our lives, we will experience inner calm and joy. You know, if you find yourself being fretful and everything, it's because a lot of times we're angry about something, or we're fearful about something. And you know, we don't have that peace that passes understanding operating in our life at that time. And joy is the necessary oil that lubricates the machinery of our lives. You know, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And if we find ourselves being in an irritated, agitated state all the time, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, pour your oil of joy on me. Let me begin to praise you. Let me begin to lift up out of this situation. Because if not, we'll find unresolved anger or fear, on the other hand, becomes the sand in the machinery of our lives. And you know, I know, as being a machinist, you start pouring sand in the oil tank, or you pour it in your car, and I'm going to tell you, your car's not going to run very long. But when we have unresolved anger or unresolved fear going on in our lives, those things will actually begin to grind us to a halt after a while if we're not careful. You know, thankfulness is a mechanism that releases us from bondage of life, whereby giving God permission to use the unsolvable to mold our character into his. You know, once released our anger out control, our rights, God is free to go to work on us. Once we begin to say, God, I give this anger to you. I don't know how to deal with it. Please take it away. Or we begin to go and ask forgiveness of someone that has wronged us, or we've wronged, or whatever. We need to, you know, Scripture tells us that if we have aught against our brother, before we bring our gifts to the altar, to come and make it right with the brother or sister or whatever. And you know, maybe some of you all sitting here today have a loved one, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, or someone that you're at odds with. Use this as an opportunity to make it right. Use this as an opportunity to ask them to forgive you and tell them you forgive them if they've done anything to you. I tell you, if we don't do that, we're going to find out that a lot of times we can't keep on progressing in God. We kind of grind down to a halt where things just aren't going. You know, fear usually focuses on anxiety, anticipations of the future? Do we have what it takes to realize our hopes and aspirations, or will our lives crash in upon us? You know, a lot of times when the stock market starts really going bad, back during the 20s when the stock market crashed, people were jumping out of windows and killing themselves because all of their hope was in riches. All of their hope was in their wealth. Man, that's sad. Money is money. Possessions are possessions. You know, those things are not important. I mean, it's nice to have them. It's nice to have possessions. But your life doesn't consist of the things that you possess, you know. In the future, if we're not careful, we'll invite some calamity or some intrusion will come upon us. And, you know, those kind of things cause us to begin to pull back from God. And what we really need to do is when we find things awry in our lives, not pull away from God, pull closer. Pull closer. Begin to start thanking Him. Begin to start praising Him. Begin to start acknowledging Him in that situation. And a lot of times you'll find He'll turn that situation around. I told you all a story before about years ago. I used to have a guy who was that I worked for. He was the boss. And, you know, there was a lot of underlying things there. You know, me and Bob worked together for years and years, but this was before he came to work at that place I worked years ago. And this particular guy that worked there, he could push every button in me that was pushable. I mean, he did all of the things. I used to get so mad at him and so angry. And I mean, it would go on, and I'd go home, and I'd pray, Lord, change Bill. His name was Bill. Lord, change Bill. Lord, change Bill. I'd pray. I don't know how many nights I spent praying, Lord, change Bill. And you know what? He never changed Bill. He never changed Bill. He changed me. He changed me. I bid out of the department where he was the boss, and I was working in another department. And then they would come and say, well, we're going to put on a night shift for a little while because we're kind of swamped down. You want to go over and work on the nights? I'd say, well, okay, I'll go help you out. Guess what? Bill would come on the night shift. He was the day shift foreman. I'm day shift group leader. He did not work nights. He would come on the nights whenever I went over there. And it just seemed like God kept putting me right back with him. Put me right back with him. I'd try my best to get away. But you know what I began to find out after a while? God never changed Bill. Bill was the same. The day he retired, he started changing me. After a while, Bill couldn't push the buttons anymore. And you know what? Then after that, the company gave me Bill's job. And I became a supervisor after that. Well, it wasn't just me. He had a lot of people in the department in an uproar a big part of the time. I mean, the guys would quit. Guys would tell me, I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to punch him. And I was a grievance man on the union at that time. And I used to say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You'll get fired. You know, where secretly in my heart, I was thinking, give him a good one. You know, that's the way I felt. You know, but you know what? I wouldn't have let him do that, you know. But I'm just telling you, a lot of times we have to deal with the anger. We have to deal with the fear. You know, those are two crippling things that can just absolutely cripple you as far as moving on with God. You know, we have to realize, you know, that God, that Scripture tells us in Romans 8 chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You mean I'm not allowed to condemn other people? Well, if there's no condemnation, if you're not being condemned, then you're not allowed to condemn other people. And, you know, it's so easy to fall into that little circle of a couple of people that's aggravated over the same thing, start talking about it, and before you know it, you get more fired up and more fired up and more fired up. I mean, I'll guarantee you that there was a couple of Christian folks, and I won't say I was among them, and I won't say I wasn't among them, but when that thing happened up there at the school, the thought crossed your mind, oh my goodness, I wish I'd have had a gun up there, because I'd have stopped that guy. You know what I mean? And you know what? All that does is let you know that something in you is rising up. Some anger in you is rising up. Instead of praying, God be merciful to that poor, wretched guy, because he has to have been tormented. His mind had to be just totally wasted. You know, we have to learn, folks, that God has told us, I love you with an everlasting love. And he's also told us that we're to love one another, even as I have loved you. And you know, he loved us enough that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We deserved to be on the cross. He didn't. But yet he took our place on Calvary. You know, I've shared this poem, and I'm going to share it one more time, and then I think I'm going to close with this. And it goes like this. It seems that man is ever talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. He talks about the wonderful things that he has said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shine. It seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Oh, that God would open our eyes, that we might truly see that we are no better than our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be, and help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other, and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother. And you know, Lord, help us to get past the anger in our lives, get past the fear in our lives, the uncertainty. The only way we can get past that is by casting our care upon you, and by acknowledging you in every situation, by praising you, that the oil of gladness might be poured upon us. You know, I'm going to share one more poem, and then this is going to be the last thing I'm going to say today, other than open the altar up if anybody wants to come and have prayer. And this one goes, I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to bring you to a greater knowledge of me, to fill you with my spirit and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, my gladness will remain and my joy will abide. Praise God. And even a river shall spring up from within, flowing out to those who are lost in sin. But I want you to know that he placed his gladness within each one of us, that we can pour it back out on other people, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't seem to be very joyous, then guess what? We're not feeling very strong. We're feeling pretty weak. And we need to know that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, but we need to ask him, Lord, pour that oil of joy upon me. Let me begin to praise you. Let me begin to thank you in all things, in all situations, in all circumstances. And I think as we begin to do that, we'll find that those things have no effect on us out there, that other people's anger with us has no effect on us. You know, praise the Lord. If you all stand, I'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. It's come out of your body. It's come out of various people where they've talked about you bringing healing in situations, you bringing correction in situations where there was anger or hostility or whatever. And Lord, I just ask you to bring healing to all of us. Help us be a forgiving people and a forgetful people, to forget those things which lie behind and to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that we might enter on in into your perfection, Lord. The only way we do that is by not looking back. You know, the service started off this morning talking about fallow ground. And Lord, you said, he that's placed his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. And if you've ever watched an old-time farmer, and I used to see my grandfather do it, plow with a mule, because I'm old enough to have seen my grandfather do that, they'd hook that mule up, and they'd keep their eyes right straight forward, because if they didn't, the furrows would get so crooked, and they couldn't get the maximum amount of crop. But when we constantly keep looking back, if you look back, you're not going to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You're going to be looking at what happened in the past, what happened a month ago, what happened a week ago, what happened 5 years ago, whatever. Those things, you have to forget about the past. You have to concentrate on Him and worship Him like the song says. And as we do that, forget about yourself, you know. Concentrate on Him. Worship Him. Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we do that, then we're going to find that the goal gets closer and closer and closer. And not only that, we're going to find a magnitude of harvest in the lives that we touch and the people that we come in contact with. So anyway, that's what I had to share with you today. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to have your way, to bless your people. If there be any here that need to even come and make anything right at the altar, Lord, then the altar's open. And Lord, help us all to forgive and to forget about the things of the past, Lord, because those things are not going to help us any. They're just going to create more and more problems in our lives. And forget about the perceived wrongs or whatever we think happened to us. We've all had them in a lot of situations. But help us to forgive. And I think when we do that, Lord, then there's going to be some cleansing. There's going to be some healing. In Jesus' name we pray.